We're not supposed to do the creed yet, are we? Our text, as I said before, is from our Old Testament reading that we read a few moments ago. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew that you showed me their deeds, but I was like a lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. Dear friends in Christ. The ball snapped. The quarterback drops back mere seconds to scan the field, and there's that open receiver, while the defensive linemen and the linebackers are closing fast. You see, the pocket in football is a precarious place. A quarterback can see the rush that's in front of him, but he can't see behind him. That's why, if the quarterback is right-handed, the left tackle is one of the highest paid players on an NFL team, because it's his job when the quarterback is in the pocket to protect his left side, his blind side, if you will. One of the most famous excuse me. Ew. They always come in threes, don't they? One of the most famous players who ever played left tackle is a young man by the name of Michael Oher. And he grew up homeless in Tennessee. Now, after being rescued by the two Oher family, he entered a Christian school where he learned to play football. Yeah, here's the third one. Where he learned to play football, and he ultimately received a scholarship to play for the University of Mississippi. His NFL career includes playing for Baltimore Ravens, for the Tennessee Titans, and for the Carolina Panthers. Maybe you even remember the movie that happened, that came out in 2009, starring Sandra Bullock, called The Blind Side. Well, that was about him. It was about Oher and the amazing Christian family that actually changed his life. Oher is strong and tough. And more important, he's very loyal. He'll do just about anything humanly possible to protect his quarterback's blind side. If only the prophet Jeremiah had somebody like a left tackle to cover his blind side. So, and see, here's the thing is, today we're looking at this very short account from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet, because while he is bringing God's judgment of impending doom to Judah, he still deeply loves the people, and he continually weeps over them. In fact, the book of Lamentations, to lament, is attributed to Jeremiah, the weeping prophets. Unfortunately, today what we learn is that while Jeremiah loves Judah, the people of Judah, well, the people there don't always and don't necessarily love him back. Jeremiah experienced perhaps one of the biggest blind sides of the Old Testament. I always say, one of my, you know, the things that I've always said is, when a prophet, don't seek to have a prophet come to town, especially in the Old Testament, because it's not usually a good thing when a prophet comes to town. He's usually prophesying woe unless the people change their ways. In these three verses, what we see here is Jeremiah talking about a plot that was against him, and how he was almost killed in this plot. We also learn that God is watching out for his prophet. Now, the book of Jeremiah can be very difficult in Hebrew. Mostly it's poetry and it's prophecy. But today's reading is neither one of these things. It's an aside. Now, an aside is a technical term when you're talking about film or theater. An aside is when a character takes time out from the plot of the story and turns either to the audience or to the camera and talks directly to the audience or to the camera. That's what they call an aside. And that's what Jeremiah appears to be doing here. In the midst of the prophecy and the poetry that he's giving to the people of Judah, he comes and turns and talks to the audience, if you will. It's as if he's turning away from the prophecy and toward the reader to describe this plot that's against him. He says, "I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me they devised their schemes." You see, Jeremiah was proclaiming God's word, but his listeners didn't like it. And they were working behind the scenes to silence him. Now, this isn't just any attack. Jeremiah describes his attackers as wanting to destroy the tree with its fruit, to cut him off from the land of the living, to literally wipe out his very existence, that his name be remembered no more. This isn't just death. This is annihilation. And the curious thing is that somehow the prophet didn't see it coming. He didn't see what was happening. It wasn't until God revealed the plot that Jeremiah was even aware. He was like a gentle lamb, without a clue, as he's being led to the slaughter that was about to happen. Jeremiah was blindsided. Blindside can be, well, it can do, it can cause tremendous damage. In 1955, there are two psychologists, Joseph Luft and Harrington Ingham, and they developed a technique to help identify one's blind side. It was a social science tool that they called the Johari window. I don't know if you've ever heard of this before. And what it is, it's a matrix that graphically kind of visualizes the things that we don't know about ourselves. Those things that we don't know about ourselves, but that others do. It's one of those things. Now, if others are bold enough to express themselves about and to share our weaknesses with us, we actually grow. And this actually protects our blind side. Why did Jeremiah get caught with a blind side? Well, he doesn't reveal any additional details. We don't know exactly what happened. We can deduce a few things from his life. One of the things that we understand is that he was from the same hometown as his listeners here. And he probably felt a sense of camaraderie with him. He also dearly loved Judah. And he had great compassion toward them that surely they would have noticed. But maybe he was blindsided by the plot against him because maybe they would understand. He believed that they would understand that he was just the messenger. He was just the prophet of God. He's just coming and telling the people. In either event, whatever reason, he just didn't see it coming. This really is the horrible danger of a blind side. If we could go into the future and look back in time, well, it'd be easy to see where we missed the signals. It'd be really easy. But that's the problem with a blind side. It's what a former Secretary of Defense called an unknown unknown. Well, it's what we don't know about what we don't know. We simply don't see it coming. So why are we constantly unaware of our blind side? Many times it's because we think very much more highly of our own abilities than we should. We actually know our own hearts and minds, and they seem to us to be relatively reasonable. We're always reasonable to ourselves. We trust our own instincts. When a problem comes up, we think we can fix it ourselves. And we don't need any other wisdom out there. We know more than anybody else about what's going on in this situation. There's no other perspectives. We're not going to pray to God because he expects us to fix it all ourselves. Or we've watched a YouTube video and we know what to do and how to do it. But we should know from experience and from Scripture that the human condition is full of sin. Our human nature is full of sin, and we really can't trust our own human nature. Even though we're trusting in our own minds and hearts, we're trusting in minds and hearts that are in a fallen condition. In fact, if you follow the theory of the Johari window, there's actually no way at all to protect ourselves from our blind side. It's part of the human condition after the fall into sin. Well, our story today actually ends well for Jeremiah. It appears that God was protecting his prophet. After God reveals the plan to Jeremiah and the slaughter is abated, Jeremiah is saved. Our reading today, of course, doesn't tell us how God revealed the plot and how the slaughter was avoided. Later on in some other verses, Jeremiah reveals that God actually punished his potential attackers, but even those details are very few in number. One should note, though, what Jeremiah writes as he sings the praises of God in verse 20, which is right at the end of our passage. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, and then at the very end, to you have I committed my cause. You see, when Jeremiah looks back at the whole affair, at everything that had happened, he realizes that it had all stemmed from an incorrect judgment of his own heart. Those who were plotting against Jeremiah reacted only to what they heard, only to what they had heard him say. They really couldn't know what was in Jeremiah's heart. Jeremiah, on the flip side of that, he only knew what was in his heart and what it was in his mind, but he couldn't see beyond that. He knew what he was doing was righteous and just. He knew what was in his heart. You see, it was only our omnipotent God who's able to see the very whole picture. It's only God who is able to judge with righteousness. You see, the fact is that God's never blindsided. He's never blindsided. When he looks at us, he sees the parts of the Johari window that nobody could ever see. He sees the dangers long before any of us do. He's the God of the known knowns, if you will. He knows everything. He sees the impact of our own sinful human nature. He sees the folly when we trust in our own judgments. Now, we might think that we know everything about ourselves, but even that is foolishness. God knows everything about you and about me. God knows everything, all of our motives, all of our reasons for doing what we do. And when God looks at our lives, he sees our utter and complete failure to see our own weaknesses. And it's for that reason that he sent his Son into this world. He sees our failures. He sees our weaknesses. He sent Jesus into the world to redeem us from all of those times that by trusting in our own human sinful nature, we've walked into that blind spot. Just like Jeremiah, Jesus was a hometown boy. He had great compassion for those who are around him. As he's coming up to Jerusalem, facing the passion and the crucifixion, as he's coming up to Jerusalem, before he enters, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. How I would have protected you. How I would have loved to have done that." As he's coming to Jerusalem, and as he's entering into Jerusalem, and in his ministry, he speaks God's truth to God's people. And Jesus' listeners, not all of them, but they plotted to kill him, just like they did Jeremiah. But they succeeded with Jesus. They nailed him to a cross. But that actual plot was foiled. Not the same way. It wasn't foiled by God saving Jesus. It was actually foiled by Jesus breaking the chains of death, rising from the grave to set you and me and all of creation free. Jesus' death and resurrection actually have delivered us from our sins, from those sins that we know and the ones that we don't know about. You see, by ourselves, we can't protect our blind side. We don't have that left tackle to protect us on our blind side. We'll constantly be plagued by the fact that we really can't see our unknown unknowns. But these aren't going to kill us, because we have somebody who walks near us, behind us, to protect us. His righteousness has been given to us. And God's righteousness protects us despite all of our blind sides. And now, of course, through his grace, for Jesus' sake, we have been judged righteous for his sake. In his name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep